a salvation, hoping so is not good enough. You need to be sure that you're sure that you're sure that your sins are forgiven and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first message in this series on the book of Revelation, Pastor Grant gave us the critical key to understanding this dramatic and sometimes controversial book. Using Scripture's own words, Pastor Grant showed us how this book is contextually divided into three different time periods dating from the time of John's vision. First, the things you have seen. Second, the things which are. Third, and the things that shall be hereafter. What John had seen was a vision of the ascended Christ in all his glorified splendor. The things that are has to do with the letters to the seven churches to whom John was instructed to write. The things hereafter have to do with what happens in heaven and on earth after the church is raptured to glory. So, keeping these critical distinctions in mind, we invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings the first part of the second message in this series entitled The Next Big Event on God's Calendar. Here now is Pastor Grant.
When we were kids, one of the games we used to play was hide and seek. I don't know if I was the only one who played hide and seek, but you remember we would hide just about anywhere we could. We would hide under the bed. We would hide in the closets. We would hide behind the shower curtain. We would hide behind trees out in the yard. And of course, we would hide wherever we thought we would not be found. And then, you know, they always had it. It was the person who had to come and find us. And it would have to number or give us some time to hide. And I don't know if that's how you played it in your time, but the way we played it, it had to do a countdown. And usually we would have it say a big word, Mississippi, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. And poor it, if it stuttered, we would have a really long time to hide by the time it got all the way up to 10 or 15 Mississippis. But I tell you, after it got to 10 or 15 Mississippis, it would announce, ready or not, what? Here I come. And you know, my friends, whether we are ready or not, one day very soon, Jesus Christ is coming. And the question is, are you ready to meet him? Today, I'm speaking on the theme, the next big event on God's calendar. And as we study Bible prophecy, it is apparent that the next big event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And so today I want to spend some time to answer four very important questions about one of the most important events in the life of the church, one of the most important things regarding the Christian church. I want to explore this as we answer four very important questions about the rapture. And the very first question I want to deal with this morning, as we talk about the next big event on God's calendar, I want to answer the question, what is the rapture? You know, sometimes those of us who have been saved a little while, we get familiar with these terms, but somebody who's just saved, sometimes they hear us talking about the rapture and they wonder, what in the world are they talking about? The word rapture comes from the Latin word rapio, which means a snatching away. That Latin word rapio, and you can see it on the notes, fill in as you go along, a snatching away. And although the word rapture, and it's important we realize this, if you do a Google search for where does the word rapture occur in the Bible, you'll find nothing because the word rapture does not appear in the Bible, but the Bible clearly teaches that there is going to be a snatching away. Amen? The Bible tells us that soon, without any warning, God is going to snatch away his church out of this world. Very soon, without any warning, he's going to snatch his church out of this world. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians, which is one of the very important passages that has to do with the rapture. And I'm going to stay there for a little bit this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Before we jump back to Revelation, we're going to be parked here for a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 4. And here's how it reads in verse number 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpeting of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be snatched up or caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Amen. Listen, this snatching away, as we call the rapture, where the believers are physically taken to heaven, this snatching away could happen at any moment, because there is absolutely no prophecy that has to be fulfilled before this snatching away takes place. You know, many of you have heard my testimony. I shared before that when I was 9 years old, I went home from school, and usually my grandmother was usually there, because my grandmother did not work and she did not drive and she did not take the bus. So for sure, she was always there. But when I got home, she was not there, nor were my brothers. Of course, I didn't think my brothers. I was a little surprised they were gone and I was not. Because for a moment there, when I thought that the rapture had come, I searched and I didn't think they were in any better shape than I was. But you know, we had all gone to Sunday school, and I said, oh my goodness, imagine they received Christ and didn't even tell me. So there I was. Wondering where they were, and I was sure the rapture had come. I started to cry because I knew what happened, that if you missed the rapture, there was absolutely no possibility of being saved. I knew if I had missed it, it was over, and I started to cry. And you can imagine how overjoyed I was when I found out the rapture had not come, and I still had a chance, and I received Christ just then. And the next Sunday, I walked down the aisle of church to let everybody know that I was now a believer in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, if Lord Jesus Christ had come last night, if the rapture had occurred last night, would you have been snatched away? Because if you were not snatched away, you would be left behind, and there would be absolutely no possibility of your being saved if you missed the rapture and had heard the gospel before. And I'm going to ask you, my friend, if as you ponder this morning and you realize that you're not ready to meet the Lord, I'm going to encourage you, young person, young child, you may just be a child or a teenager, you may be an adult, it doesn't matter your age or your stage, but if you examine yourself and you're not sure that if the rapture were to come, you'd be snatched away, you need to make sure you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. The first question, what is the rapture? But here's a second very important question. What happens at the rapture? The first thing I want you to write down in your notes is that at the rapture, write this down, the bodies of Christians at home with the Lord will be resurrected. The bodies of Christians at home with the Lord will be resurrected. You know, at funerals of Christians, the preacher will sometimes say, John is in a better place right now, for right now John is walking the streets of gold. Well, the preacher means well, but the preacher is not accurate, because John ain't walking the streets of gold. There is no Christian walking the street of gold right now. I'm sorry if I disappointed you because you thought your grandmom was walking the streets of gold. Well, truthfully, she is not walking the streets of gold, because she's waiting on you. You see, when a Christian dies, it is true, they're home with the Lord. Remember, we are tripartite beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. The body is just the house. The essential you, the immaterial part, is really who you are. The soul and the spirit. Listen, You could cut off all my legs and my hands, and I haven't diminished. Brian Grant is still there. I'm in this house that God gave me to traverse this scene. But when I die, my soul and my spirit, they go to be with the Lord. I continue to live, and I live if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am in wonderful peace with God. The Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present to the Lord, which is far better. So the good news is your grandmom and your mommy who died in Jesus Christ are in a better place. It's just that they're not walking the streets of gold right yet because their bodies are still here. But at the rapture, Jesus is going to bring the souls and the spirits of those who died in Christ, and they will be reunited with their resurrected body. You say, Pastor, you're making it up. No, right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's start reading at verse 13. We're going to read from verse 13 to 17 again. Here's what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Please don't miss that. We often overlook that little phrase, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When the rapture comes, the Lord Jesus Christ is actually bringing with him those who sleep in Jesus. Don't miss that. You say, why is he bringing them with him? Well, read on. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those of us who are alive when the rapture comes are not going to get to heaven ahead of those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Hallelujah. He's not going to just send an angel. The Lord himself is coming to get us. Amen. He himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Hallelujah. When the trumpet sounds, we're going to be going home. Amen. When the trumpet sounds. Oh, we could sing a little bit on that. But with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Listen, the dead bodies are going to be resurrected. But we're going to read a little bit in 1 Corinthians in a minute to see what's going to happen to those dead bodies. They're going to rise. But it's not just going to be the same old dead body that went down. Hallelujah. Listen, so he's bringing the souls and the spirits with him. The dead bodies are going to arise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to go to heaven together, the physical, both those who are gone home to be with the Lord and those who are alive at the time of the rapture. We're going to get there physically at the same time. Amen. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So, okay, jump over to 1 Corinthians 15, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 42. We don't have time to read the whole of this, but I hope when you go home, you'll read at least from 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 35 to the end. We're jumping in at verse number 42, where the word of God says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So when grandma died, we put her in the grave, and that body corrupted, and it became ashes, it became dust. Listen, that body is corruptible, but when it is raised, it is going to be raised an incorruptible body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Hallelujah. It's not the same body that went down that's coming up. Amen. This, some of you are afraid of heights and you wonder, how am I going to manage in heaven? How can I manage in heaven? I'm so afraid I won't even go up in a plane. Don't worry. You're not going to have this weak body that you had. Hallelujah. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body, says the word of God. Amen. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And one of these days we're going to have that spiritual body like the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was raised from the dead. A miraculous body, hallelujah. A body that has flesh and bones, but a body that can still walk through the walls. Don't ask me. I can tell you about it later. But by the time I tell you about it, you won't need me to tell you because you would have experienced it yourself. That is if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. We're all going to experience this body, this spiritual body, this body that is going to be raised in glory, this body that's going to be raised in power. Verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Listen, hallelujah. It says here, listen, it's the corruption is going to inherit incorruption. We're going to get a body that's incorruptible, a body that can never die. Hallelujah. And it says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What is he saying? My mom and my grandmom and my dad, they're all, listen, they've all died. They're all asleep. But not every Christian is going to sleep. They're going to be Christians alive at the rapture. And it could very well be that you and I will be the ones alive at the rapture. But listen, we shall not all sleep. But here's the key. We shall all be changed. Amen. Every believer in Jesus Christ, whether they have passed on or whether they're alive, when the rapture comes, they are all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For hallelujah, the trumpet will sound and the dead will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. We can stop reading right there for the time being. Put this one in your notes. Not only the bodies of Christians at home will the Lord be resurrected, but at the rapture, Christians who are still alive will be snatched away. Everything is happening at the rapture. The dead in Christ are being raised at the same time that the Christians who are alive are being snatched up, and together we will be with the Lord. So right now, Uncle Johnny, he's not walking the streets of gold, but after the rapture, we'll all be able to run all over God's heaven. Amen. There will be no arthritis or knee pain or back pain to slow us down. Amen. Oh, I see some of my brothers and sisters who have all sorts of itis. But you'll say goodbye to Miss Itis or Mr. Itis, because then all of them itises are gone. The bursitis. Amen. It's all over. I tell you, listen, no sickness can enter there. All the cancer and the COVID and all the things that are burdening us today, they will be all gone, because no sickness can enter heaven. Hallelujah. We have a body that's incorruptible. And thank God, we're going to be able to rejoice and worship our Master and our King. And listen, and explore and enjoy the amazing things that God has prepared for us. Forever and ever, we'll be able to rejoice in his presence. Amen. Listen, the best is yet to be for the people of God. Am I right about that? My friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? As you watch this program this morning, that's the burning question of the hour. Jesus is coming again. And the question is, do you know him personally? Has he saved you from your sin? Are you sure that? Are you sure? You see, too many people have a I hope so salvation. This is a salvation. Hoping so is not good enough. You need to be sure that you're sure that you're sure that your sins are forgiven and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're on your way to heaven. And hallelujah, listen, it took a little shake up. It took a chance for me to believe that the rapture had gone, for me to accept Jesus. But this morning, you don't have to wait till some scare comes into your life. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. What is the rapture? We've answered that. What happens at the rapture? We've answered that. When will the rapture happen? Let's get into some more difficult questions. When will the rapture happen? Jesus is coming soon, but don't believe anyone who tries to predict a date. For no one knows the date or the hour of his return. Amen? Some years ago, in a very highly respected a gentleman by the name of Harold Campion, and he was not the first one, there have been so many, but Harold Campion was one who we had such incredible respect for. He was the founder of the Christian station WKDN. We broadcast on that station. And all of a sudden, Dr. Campion started saying that the world was going to end in 2011. Some of you remember that. The world is going to end in 2011, and I think he gave us the date of May sometime in 2011, and the world didn't end. And of course, he changed, and he said it was going to be later on, and he gave us another date in 2011, It hasn't ended. You see, poor Dr. Campion had followed the unfortunate thing that so many have done, that they have tried to predict. Listen, God has set this thing up that nobody will know the date or the hour. It can happen at any time. He is going to come when you least expect him to. The key is he wants you to be ready. He wants me to be ready. And I'm glad I am ready. Are you ready? You know, some of you may say, well, I don't believe Jesus is coming at all. I believe this is all hocus pocus. Because my great-grandmother used to say Jesus is coming, and he hasn't come yet. She'd been dead. She's dead 100 years ago, and Jesus hasn't come yet. And I hear the scoffers. Have you ever met scoffers like that? They say, no, I think it's just a game. Jesus is not coming. It's a game. Well, do you know the Bible has a word just for you? You know the book of 2 Peter chapter 3? The Bible says, listen, I want you to know that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So if 1,000 years is like a day, that means it's only been 2 days. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus is as certainly coming. But that verse goes on. That verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it goes on, and here's what it says. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. Listen, God is long-suffering to us. Listen, for those of you who are listening and you don't believe this, are you with listening to me this morning? You don't believe it. You forget, I don't have to listen to what this preacher is saying because Jesus is not coming. God is saying, I'm long-suffering to you because I'm giving you even today another opportunity to say yes to Jesus. But you know that verse also is talking to Christians because it is really in the context. He's really saying to Christians, I am long-suffering to you, you who have been sitting on the bench and doing absolutely nothing. I'm giving you another opportunity to get busy for God. I'm long-suffering to you. I'm not willing that any should perish. And God is giving you and I an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Thank God that yesterday over 20 of our members went into the neighborhood to spread the gospel, and several came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We thank God for the moving of His Spirit, but the issue is, are you involved? Every Christian has to be involved, and God is long-suffering to some of us who have been sitting on the bench, and He's saying, I'm giving you another opportunity. Are you going to seize this opportunity, or are you going to continue sitting? Listen, so the Bible has not told us the day of the return of the Lord, but it indicates that He will return. You can write this down. He's going to return, write this down, at the end of the church age. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.